guys, welcome back to the show. We're here to talk about great stuff today, including DRM that ruins everything that you own. And, we're also going to talk about Batman, because new issue came out, and it's a thing. But before we get into how horrible Tom King's Batman is, let's talk about DRM, because that's almost just as wonderful, isn't it? All right. Jim Sterling, those of you who may follow him on YouTube, he's a little bit of a controversial figure. Nonetheless, he found out recently that people who had bought Tron Evolution on Steam can no longer play the game. Now, this game, of course, came out when the Tron Legacy movie did. It was a great game, got good reviews, sold really well, but now it cannot be loaded. And basically, it breaks down like this. If you owned the game in the past, and you played it in the past, on your machine, you still have it installed, you can still play it just fine. The problem is, for anyone new who tries to play the game, or anyone who has owned it and played it in the past but uninstalled it, or wants to install it on a new machine, you can no longer install it and play it. Now, I personally played it on a bunch of systems, you know, whatever, played it for many years, but my laptop I used to record the show is actually it's a Dell Inspiron gaming laptop, and I had the game on here. But every so often, every like 2 years, whatever, I like to wipe out my laptops clean and start over because I download so much stuff, I install so much stuff, and then after a while I use different software. I try to back up my settings, try to, you know, save all the videos and photos and stuff I want either in online storage or on external hard drives. And then I just wipe the thing completely, reset Windows 10, and restart. And it's something really... I think more people should do that. The more stuff that you install, the more stuff that you add on, especially with something like Chrome, and every time you get a new computer, you log into Chrome, you sync up all your stuff, it downloads all the same extensions, and then you wonder, do I really need all these things? And they're taking the resources in the background, and some of them get buggy, and whatever. So every so often, I just make it a habit to wipe my system clean and start from scratch. And so I looked at this, and I thought, well, I paid for the game on Steam. I also paid for a physical copy years ago. I have a boxed copy of the game. So if I can't play my Steam one, can I play my boxed copy one? The Steam one, I played on this computer, but it was before I wiped the hard drive. I was wondering, could I actually play it? And as it turns out, no, it does not work. Basically what has happened is, here, let me flip back to this. You got something interesting to watch at. Disney used something called Secure-ROM. And Secure-ROM, you have a hardware code and a serial number. The serial number comes with your game. When you load up and try to install, it assigns you a hardware code. Then you connect to the Secure-ROM servers, and the Secure-ROM servers will then look through everything that you have and say, okay, this is your serial number, this is your hardware code, this is your unlock code. And it generates the unlock code, it unlocks the game, and it allows it to install. However, the servers that Secure-ROM uses for that are no longer in use. Basically, what happened was Disney has, you know, pretty much backed out of the video game business themselves, and everything goes through EA and, you know, I don't know who does their mobile games and whatever, but it's not, you know, it was Lucasfilm, and then there was Disney Games and whatever. Now it's all handled off-site, third party. And Disney decided not to renew their subscription to Secure-ROM, because Secure-ROM runs on a yearly subscription basis. So your game per year, you pay so much money, they maintain the servers, they unlock everything, and the games can keep playing. Disney decided it wasn't worth their money anymore to continue to pay for the Secure-ROM subscription for Tron Evolution. And you may say, okay, well, it's like a 10-year-old game, right? So it's like, who cares? But the reason why Jim Sterling found out about this originally and decided to make a video about it and put it online was because people were trying to play. and people could not get the game to load and play. And so it wasn't so much the fact that, hey, it's an old game, nobody plays it anymore. This is an old game. People still do play. People love the franchise. People want to play the game that they paid for, and they cannot. Now, if you own it on PlayStation 3 or Xbox 360, you can still play those fine because they don't use Secure ROM. It's only on PC that you have that problem. But really, it's interesting. One, you know, the Tron community is still playing these old games. They still love it. It doesn't matter. And two, that the Secure ROM is run as a subscription service. I thought it was just a server had gone down. The server didn't work anymore. I thought, well, why doesn't someone just, you know, make a server, you know, have the address go to somewhere and put whatever patch on it it is that downloads. So when you connect to the server, it downloads the patch and everything's fine. Because Secure ROM still exists. You know, they're still alive. You do connect to the server. What happens is you connect to the server and it says that your serial number is deactivated. Because the chunk of serial numbers that Disney you know, had paid for, had licensed for Secure ROM, they stopped paying for them, so all of those serial numbers are deregistered. So, it's not a Steam problem, because with the physical copy of the game on PC, it does the same thing. You put in your disk, it downloads the files, it installs, it brings up the Secure ROM check, it asks you to connect to the internet, and you're out of luck. Now, there are key generators that exist out there. And the original one that was used to hack this game all the time, it has mixed results. It's like 80PA or something like that is the name of the program. And it doesn't work 100%. You're supposed to put in your code, you put in the hardware code. There's a point where when Secure ROM fails, it says it's been, you know, deregistered, you can put to manually unlock it, and it'll ask you to put in the code that was already previously generated. So I had saved a hardware code. I tried that. My old code didn't work because this hardware is registered as being something different. Because, you know, I've reformatted, so it counts as a different machine. I admit I tried using the device. I got a code, put in the code, it didn't work. It'll say it's activated, but then it doesn't actually launch and play. Now, there are other hacks that exist out there that supposedly just rip Secure ROM right out of the game, and you can play it. I don't know if those are compatible with the Steam version, or if you're going to have to download ISOs and put in you know, a virtual drive with the ISO of the game. Like, I don't know how all of that works, and I haven't gotten into all that. But it is interesting that the way the DRM screws you over is not limited just to buying digitally, which I had always thought that digital would be the problem. Buying something on Steam that has some sort of copy protection into it, then of course you're tied to Steam. Obviously you have to have it. Steam goes down, you lose the game. But I always figured as long as Steam was there, it would be an option just fine. But of course now we see that it's not even gonna work on Steam, even though it's still in your Steam library, and you can still go through the process of downloading it, downloading the 6.8 gigabyte file, but then once it goes to install, you can't get through that without some other hack or crack, which I have yet to find. But it made me wonder about some of these other things that we look at with you know, copyright and DRM. iTunes. You know, originally when iTunes came out, everything was DRM'd. I don't know if it's still that way. I have not bought any sort of file off of iTunes in maybe a decade. So I don't really know. I remember, though, early on when I had purchased music on iTunes, it downloaded them as an M4V file, I think it was. And it was basically an MP4 audio file that had been somehow locked with Apple's DRM. And there was a tool that came out called FairPlay, and FairPlay allowed you to rip it up. Or Handbrake, I think Handbrake was another one, allow you to rip that DRM and just get your basic music file. But Amazon then jumped into the fray. They offered 99-cent DRM-free MP3s. If you were a big fan of G4, Tech TV back in the day, you know that there were like Russian websites that people were going to and downloading them for pennies. You know, 10, 15 cents you could download the song, but you know, those have long since been shut down. But what was interesting to me is that, you know, as these other companies got less into DRM, and they just made the files available for 99 cents, you saw sales go up. People bought music. I bought MP3s instead of going to the news groups or wherever and downloading them, because I wanted to support the artists I like. I just wanted the music in the format I could use, and I didn't have an iPod. You know, I had, at the time, I had a phone. I think it was a Motorola of some kind. It had a little screen on the front. You'd play music through it. It was an MP3 player. So you'd put in your headphones. It was a flip phone, right? But when you flipped it down, you had a control screen right there, and it would say the name of the song and whatever. You could flip through the different songs, pull up the menu, switch to a different playlist and play. And so I needed regular MP3s to throw on there. So I started buying through Amazon MP3, and I've continued to buy through Amazon MP3. And I do have Prime, and I get the Prime Music subscription, but there are a lot of times where I like a song, I want to support the artist, I want to buy the album or buy the particular song that comes out. Anything from Fantagram, for instance, anything they put out, I'll buy it. You know, remixes, singles, whatever, they come out with an album, it's got three of the singles I've already paid for, I don't care, I'll buy the album. And a lot of times, Amazon's good about saying, you own a couple of these tracks, so we're going to lower the price, so you're not paying full price, you're getting, you know, a cheaper deal, whatever. And I'm fine with that. I'm fine with buying it as a file that I then own, I can do whatever I want with, right? With comics, it's not that way. Now, there are some places that allow you to download either zip files or PDFs or CBZs of your comics that you buy. And I remember iMelt being one of the big ones early on, Pullbox Online being one where you could buy them. You could buy certain things un-DRM'd and just download them, and they were fine. Sometimes they might have a watermark so you don't share it, so they know who's, you know, spreading it out there. But for the most part, though, Comixology does have books from indies. Image, I think Dynamite, Boom, Fantagraphics maybe, where you can, if you buy it on Comixology, you can then download a PDF or a CBZ of the title, but it doesn't work for DC, Marvel, Dark Horse, anything like that. And I started thinking, Dark Horse, you know, up until a couple years ago, they had the Star Wars comic license, they had the Conan comic license. And I had actually purchased some of those through the Dark Horse online digital comic store. And some of them, because they were older, instead of running down back issues or whatever, or they might have something on sale in a bundle, and so I'd buy the bundle. And so you got those comics in the Dark Horse store, but now, of course, Comixology, I think they folded Dark Horse in, but not all of your, I'm not sure all of your books always transfer over, or maybe, I don't know exactly how all that works, I don't remember. But of course, the Star Wars license and the Conan license have now switched to Marvel. So now Marvel has the rights to not only the old Marvel stuff and the old Star Wars stuff, but they have the rights to all the Dark Horse, Conan, and Marvel stuff. So I wondered, if I went to darkhorse.com, to their digital store, would I still be able to read the Star Wars comics and the Conan comics that I bought through Dark Horse on their store, even though they no longer have the rights? And then take it to the next step. If I go to Comixology and look at the Marvel version, is that unlocked? Does it know that I bought the Dark Horse version, and will it give me that version? Or also, does it allow me to read the Dark Horse version? Is that still in my library? And so these are just, you know, questions I ask myself, just kind of wondering what was going on. But to me, it's interesting to know whether or not these things happen. So let me start here. Of course, I should have I should have started this before. I looked up a couple things, but I didn't look up everything before I started doing the show here. So let me take a second here. What I'm trying to do here is I'm trying to locate. I have the Marvel version of the Star Wars book. I've got the Dark Horse version of the Star Wars book, but I didn't think I didn't pull up my library ahead of time to see how it shows on Comixology to see if any of that transfers over. So give me just a second here. And I'm wondering, for any of you that are buying comics online, does it bother you? Or I guess anything. Like if you're buying a movie on Vudu, you buy the digital copy, you don't actually own a physical copy. You know, do you consider that to be a problem? Are you worried about that, something going down? I know that one of the online movie services shut down recently. I forget which one it was, but before that, Movies Anywhere started, and they linked all your libraries together, and so anything you bought in the Microsoft Store or in Vudu, or I think even Xfinity is now part of the mix, that if you buy a movie digitally on Xfinity, it'll show up in your Movies Anywhere, and it goes through all your different stores. So if somebody's got movies on sale and you buy them, you know, let's say the Microsoft Store had the Die Hard movies on sale, so you buy the movies, the bundle, on the Microsoft Store, it'll show up on Google Play. It'll show up on Vudu. It'll show up, you know, any of these linked libraries that have those movies. It's unlocked on all of them. And so to me, that made me feel a lot better about the digital purchases I made. But for a long time, I really didn't worry about it because I didn't think it was ever going to be one of those kinds of issues. I thought it was only going to be an issue if the entire service shuts down. If say the movie company goes out of business, you might lose those movies. But then maybe not. Maybe, I don't know. See, that's the problem with these things. When you're buying digitally, you're not really buying a physical product. So let's jump in here. This is the Dark Horse online digital store. And you can see here, Star Wars Empire Issue 1. It's got the Dark Horse branding up there. Lucas Books, Betrayal 104. Read now, unavailable for purchase. So nobody knew can go in and buy this book on the Dark Horse store anymore. It is unavailable. But for me, since I already bought it, I have the ability to come in here and read the book that I paid for, even though the rights have transferred now to Marvel. So then, like I said, that brings up an interesting question. First of all, is this going to show up in my Comixology library? Do I get access to the Marvel version of the book? So we come over here. This is Comixology. Here's the Star Wars Empire number one, Betrayal 104. And you can see it will allow me to add it to my cart to buy it, but it is not unlocked. So I do not have access to it through Comixology. And so that's kind of interesting. And if we pull it up, we can see that Marvel has in fact redone the cover. The Lucas Books thing is gone. The Dark Horse branding is gone, of course. It says Legends on the bottom, so you know that it's from Expanded Universe. It doesn't count, you know, when Disney, you know, restarted basically the Star Wars universe with Marvel, because they bought, you know, Marvel and whatever. They basically dumped everything that was in the Expanded Universe, and, you know, they wanted to start with new movies. And so any of this old stuff will say Legends on it to let you know it's no longer part of canon. It's in the old version of the universe. But something I thought was interesting, and maybe it's just me, but they redid, you know, I understand they're going to take this out. I understand they're going to take this out. What I was surprised to see is if you look, this box is big. It takes up more space over the artwork. When you look here, the artwork has been repainted. It's been reworked because this box is smaller. I found that interesting. Here's, you know, the part where Lucas Books was. That has been taken off. And that artwork, again, has been redone. So what they've done is they've gone back to the... You can see here in this bullet coming out, there's this little flare right here. Where the you know, electricity is crackling a little bit. And if you look, it's still there, but the lettering is in a different spot in comparison to where it was. It was covering that more. Now that's open more out there, meaning Marvel actually went back to the original unbranded artwork, pulled up the original files, and then redid the logo, redid all the information on there, all of the whatever information telling you, I forget what it's called. It's some kind of marking that you put on the cover, let people know the issue number and the artist and the writer and whatever. They went back and they redid that from scratch, made it look similar. That they have the same font for the logo, so you can see that that is the actual logo. They got the rights to that. I'm sure Dark Horse had to hand over that information, but they redid that here where it says Betrayal. It's down crossing right across his knee. You can see it's up higher. And for those of you, again, listening on audio, thanks for listening. You can't see this, but hopefully I'm describing it well enough that you understand what I'm saying here. That all of this information, Marvel went back to the original artwork, started from scratch, reconfigured, redid the cover so it looks like the old one, but of course it has the Marvel branding and whatever built onto it. But to me, that's interesting that they would take that extra step. I wouldn't expect them to do that. I would expect anywhere it says Dark Horse, they're going to put a Marvel logo and they'd make it a different size so it would fit. I don't know why the Lucas books is missing, and the Legends, I thought they would just slap on the bottom, it wouldn't matter, but they are actually going back to the original artwork. So that's interesting. But no, I do not have it. So I wondered, is this, I know this links with the Marvel store. So anything you buy in the Marvel comic store, the Marvel sales that you buy will jump over to Comixology. And I think vice versa. Anything you buy on Comixology that's a Marvel book will unlock through the Marvel app and on the Marvel digital comic store. So I wondered if when I came in to look through the books I have here on Comixology, if it would appear on there, and it doesn't. It does not show up in there at all. And you can see I haven't really bought a lot of the Marvel ones that are on here. I don't like them as much. At one point, Comixology gave away tons and tons and tons of stuff, and you could get books for free by putting in the codes. And so I've got a fair amount of books on here. Got over 1,000 different series. Yeesh. And as far as individual books, 5,600 individual comics. I'm not that worried, but maybe I should be. Well, actually, I'm not. Because if you go online and you look around, you do enough searching, you can find a tool that will allow you to make your own backups of your Comixology books. I won't say what it's called. I won't say where to get it. Do not message me. I will not tell you. But nonetheless, you can go out and find a tool, and that tool will allow you to go into Comixology and make a backup of whatever comic it is, and it'll make it in the full quality of the original book. So some people, I know there are people that will screen print. They'll have something like an iPad with a Retina display, and they will screen print and flip and screen print and flip. And they found some way. I know you're not supposed to be able to screen print in some of these apps, but they found some way to do it. Some people with a big monitor will rotate the monitor sideways and screen print and crop, and they do that to back up. But there are ways of doing it yourself. You're bypassing the DRM restrictions. And if you've ever tried to download the actual JPEG files on Comixology, they're actually scrambled. So if you go in and you try to look through their code, and actually, let me see if I can pull one up real quick. Let me go to my books and show you what it looks like. It is completely messed up. And so you are unable to actually just download those JPEGs and save them. Let me go into here, images, okay. Let's go back. All right, so this is what the comic page will actually look like straight out of Comixology. So as you can see, it's been chopped up and mixed around. And if I don't know if that is showing up. Is that showing up? That is not showing up. Okay, here, oh my goodness. Okay, how do I get this window to show? Let me add browser. Maybe Edge Info. Browser. You need a browser source. Yes, thank you. That's not what I want. I don't want that. Okay, what I'm trying to do here is I'm trying to get to a point where I can show you what I'm seeing on my screen, because there's a way that you can pull up the information in the development tools in Chrome, or the Chromium or Chrome version of Edge, or you know, wherever, and there is a way to look at the code behind your comics, and to look at the images that are embedded. I don't know, do you have a black screen right now, or is that just because I'm doing my weird thing? Let's see here. Browser source custom. Yeah, I don't want, no, don't do that. What are you doing? Okay, let me try again. I want window, right? I want window capture. Edge info, and I'm actually using the Edge version of Chrome, the Chromium version. Ah, okay, here we go. All right, there it is. Okay, so this is actually what the comic page looks like, coming straight through your browser. So their DRM is they chop it up to these little pieces and mix it together. And so, like I said, there is a tool that allows you to unscramble it and save it. But I won't tell you what it is, and I won't tell you. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just, you know, I don't want to get in trouble. So it exists, and you can do it, and you can back it up. But the the easy way to do it, if you're looking for an easy way, is you can just come in and you can screen print this stuff, and then you're able to have your copy that way. But as far as if you try to actually download the page is actually being messed up as it's presented to your browser, and then there's an unlock key that puts it together in the right way. So if you're worried about your digital stuff that you buy, then you need to look around for ways that you can actually save that stuff. There are computer programs you can get that will allow you to save your Vudu purchases, or any of those online digital store purchases that will allow you to record those. But those are actually doing a screen record. They're actually hitting play, pulling up the file, and when it loads and starts playing, it's recording your screen and recording the audio. You're getting a backup of it, so you have it. It's they call it like some sort of new age DVR, new technology DVR. I forget what it's exactly branded as. But the idea is that you do have the ability to save that stuff. It's going to be a lower quality, or whatever quality your display is. I mean, if you have a nice 4K display, I guess maybe you can record it in 4K. But you do have to worry about, what if your internet drops out, it stalls, something like that, then you're going to have a glitch in your file. Buying a physical copy should be safer, but then again, how useful are your Sega Genesis games after your Genesis died? Then you got to find another machine, and then they stop making machines, and then you got to wait for them to make something like the Genesis Legends or whatever that came out a couple years ago from At Games. You can play them. They don't look good, don't sound 100% the same, but you are available to do that. So it's weird the way that they do that, and it's just not. Until we get to a point where comics, music was the big thing. Music set everything off. They were small files. They were easy to share. Something like Napster would break it into pieces, made it real easy, the way BitTorrent works. When you have something small like that, you can sell it for 99 cents, and the music industry changes, and they don't really like it, but they realize it's the new world. That's what they have to do. Comics, though, are still very much a physical medium for the most part. That's where they make their money, is selling either the floppies, as we call them, or the graphic novels, trade paperbacks, print books. That's the majority of their money, and digital is a very small part. Comics piracy, again, it could seem much bigger than it actually is, depending on how much how much weight you're willing to give to the idea that however many downloads they get are purchases that they're missing. And I'm not ready to really jump in and say that that's true. You know, just because people download something doesn't mean that they would have bought it. But there will be a fair percentage of people who would have bought it if they could not have pirated it. So that is a fair concern. But at this point in the comics industry, it's not the type of thing that they really have to go after, because so much more is print instead of digital, except for maybe some of the smaller companies. And the smaller companies might make much more off of digital just because it's so hard for them to get print copies into stores and to get store owners to believe in the comic enough to buy copies and make it available. And maybe there needs to be some sort of better small press distribution service that's not going through Diamond that, you know, deals a little more directly with comic store owners. But, you know, whatever. You can call that whatever it is. But for now, let's just say that the idea of DRM is still, it creates more problems for legal purchasers of that form of entertainment than for pirates. Pirates can go out and play Tron Evolution with no problem on their PC because they've cracked it, they've hacked it, it works fine. Legal purchasers who have bought it because of DRM cannot play it. That is a problem. So, that makes me feel sad.
It was awful!
So, anyway, I just wanted to see if that would work. Play with some of these sounds again. See if this makes me... It makes me feel sad to think about DRM. Is that echoing? I'm wondering if that's recording off the speaker here through the microphone as well as through the Stream Deck. I don't know. Anyway, so playing around with that stuff. All right. Let's talk about Tom King's Batman. And as we do this, I will go ahead and pull up the Comixology page because they have previews for it. And we can talk about this for a little bit. I don't want to spend too much time. It makes me sad. I actually have a print copy, but I'll pull this up so you've got something on your screen to look at other than my beautiful face. This is, of course... I believe this is the penultimate issue, right? This is the issue before the last issue of Tom King's run before it switches over. I can say it's a big switch in artwork from the last issue to this issue, and it's a little odd, a little jarring to see it like this. But the story. You know, as you can see here, we're continuing right off where we left off last time. Last time, Bruce and his dad from the alternate universe have finally come head to head, and they're going to have some sort of fight, and they're going to have it out. Psycho Pirate's there. Ventriloquist as Thomas Wayne's Alfred is there. Bruce Wayne's Alfred in our universe is dead. Catwoman is there to take him on, to help, you know, Bruce take on Thomas. And so... My biggest problem with the storyline, this particular one at least, has been this idea that Thomas, he doesn't want Bruce to be the hero. He wants to make him give it up and have a normal life because Thomas knows how hard it is and how difficult it is, and he doesn't want that for his son. But he attacks his son? Like, he's killing people that his son cares about. He's destroying parts of his son's life in order to get his son to give up being Batman and to live a normal life, knowing that his son is just as driven as he is. Bruce wouldn't give it up. You wouldn't give it up, so Bruce wouldn't give it up. It doesn't make any sense. I want you to live a normal life, so I'm going to destroy everything so you have no choice. No, it's just going to make someone more dedicated to fight back and to come back against you. And the story to me just doesn't work. So what Tom King has attempted to do in this particular issue is he's going back through some of the history of what's been going on in his run, and he's kind of explaining Thomas and explaining how Thomas has gotten to this point where he works with Bane, where he wants to destroy Bruce, where he's attacking everything in his life and showing all these steps through Thomas Wayne's history as he's had his own life, seeing Bruce being murdered, his Martha becomes the Joker in his universe, in the Flashpoint universe, then how, you know, he found out his son was still alive and he came over, whatever, and he does it through all these flashbacks, and things are kind of out of order in some places, like it seems to go back, to go back, to go back, to go back, and then it starts going forward again, until we get to the end of the issue, which basically puts us right back to where we were at the beginning of the issue. This entire issue is a flashback. And it's a waste. This book is $3.99. If you are a member of Comixology Unlimited, then you can get it for $3.39. If you buy the paper copy from your local store, it's $3.99. Maybe you get a discount at our store. Everybody gets a 20% discount on their comics. The store where I used to work at, I say our store, the store where I used to work at, you subscribe, you get 20% off. But you're paying $3 for a flashback to explain a character that still doesn't work. Even with the flashback, it doesn't work. Tom King's Batman makes no sense. This run doesn't work. Now, personally, I've never been a fan of the Batman-Catwoman dynamic. I never really cared for it. And that, of course, has been a big part of his run, and doing the whole wedding thing, and then, of course, it didn't. And, you know, that was a whole debacle in and of itself. He has lost readers. We've talked about it here on this show before. He's lost 20,000... readers, or at least 20,000 in sales over the last couple years. If you take out like the issue 50 bump, you know, and the button, some of those crossovers that get these kind of artificial bumps, and you look at just the main line of it, in the last couple years he's lost 20,000 copies sold. How many of those, you know, how many copies were stores buying for customers that customers weren't coming in to buy, so they started cutting numbers? You know, how close to the actual numbers are stores buying for this book? Because people, the public isn't buying it like it used to. And it's not selling as well. Even if you may say, well, hey, it was in the top 10 of Diamond's books. But if you look at the top 10, 1, 2, 3 are usually high number sales. And then you start getting... you know, 100,000 copies, 150,000 copies and below. You have some books in the top 10 that are under 100,000 copies, which 20 years ago was straight cancellation. You know, the market has shrunk. The digital sales coming in are not adding enough extra sales. The numbers are not going up. And so he's lost a lot of readers over the years. And these are not people buying the trades. These are not people that have given up on the floppies, that don't buy comics anymore, and they've gotten older, and now they just buy the trades at Barnes & Noble. It's just not selling well, and it does hurt the other parts of the industry. There are a lot of people that have a certain fatigue with characters when they get overused. Batman's one that's getting overused now. You know, you look at Deadpool, you look at Wolverine, you look at Superman is starting to get to that point in the DC universe again, where he's showing up in anything and everything, and it's not good. Sales are not good. The industry's not good. Things are not going well for comic books. They're not going well for Batman in particular. And I'll be relieved once he's gone off of the book, because issues like this, I'm kind of at the point now where I'm looking at my collection of comics. You know, my comics are too big, you know, all the time. I'm just adding boxes and boxes. So again, every few years, kind of like with wiping the laptop, I sell off a bunch of comics. There's a store here in town that'll buy them. He'll take anything as long as they're in good condition. Like, he knows that my stuff's not going to be ripped up and missing covers and things like that. I can take a bunch of stuff that I'm not reading anymore, that I just want to get rid of, and he'll give me a fair store credit trade-in price. And I'll use that to grab some stuff off the shelf. Again, there are three comic book shops in town. And so I'll go in there every so often and pick some random stuff up, pick up some trades of whatever, and use the credit for that. And I'm thinking, I might ditch this Tom King run. I know some of these books have a higher resale value. A lot of these books, you know, he tends to go per issue. He looks at everything that you have and then kind of works out some sort of average in his head and gives you that that amount. So some books you're losing out on, but some books you're actually gaining on because they're not worth anything. And I may ditch the Tom. I may drop this run of Batman. I just don't care. We will see when the new one starts with Tinian coming in. I'm gonna give it a chance. Hopefully it'll be better. I've really loved what's been going on in Detective. That's good stuff. But Batman's just not doing it for me these days. And I know I'm not the only one. I know some of you like him and some of you think it's great. And you love the extra stuff that he's doing. You love, and you're going to be like, hey, this flashback issue is great because it shows me all this stuff about Thomas. Doesn't explain Thomas. Still doesn't work. Makes absolutely no sense with the character. You've shown me what's happened. It still doesn't work. But nonetheless, it's there. So, yeah. I don't really know that I have anything more to add on that. I've been kind of padding words here for the last few minutes. I realize that. And yeah, I get that way sometimes. I'm just throwing out words to have words to make the show keep going, make it longer, more time on the clock. So it's a longer show. So it's better. So, I guess that's all I have to say about that.
It was awful! It was
terrible! Get him away!
Not a good show today, I guess. I made unhappy with a lot of stuff. Tomorrow, I'm not sure if I'm doing a show tomorrow just because of scheduling stuff going on, holidays, things like that. I'm not sure if it's going to work out, but obviously don't do shows over the weekend. Usually don't do Monday just because, again, there's a bunch of stuff that happens around here on Mondays. But Tuesday, definitely I will be back to look at some of the new comics. If something big happens and I want to, you know, talk about it, then definitely I will come back and do a show in the meantime. But I'm going to say more than likely, probably not going to do one tomorrow. Don't do it over the weekend. I don't do Monday. So Tuesday is probably when I'll be back. But I have gotten some feedback from you guys. Some of you actually agree with me with what I'm saying about comics, which is unexpected, but nice because I'm used to just people calling me an idiot. And, you know, it's fine, whatever. Whatever works. But it's nice, sometimes to, you know that, I'm not the only person, out there with, some of these thoughts in my head. Let's see. Oh, I've got here. There's something going on. What is going on? Okay. So here, let me show you this. This is what I see on YouTube. And this happens every so often. I'll come in here and, you know, they're my public comments. Okay, fine. I get this likely spam. Sometimes there's stuff in there, zero. But here it says held for review. And it's showing a one. There's some comment that somebody has left that YouTube says I need to see. I need to approve it before it goes live. And yet it's not showing me anything. There's nothing here. So if you've left a comment and I have not responded to it and it's something directly that you think, you know, I probably should have, that's why, because I can flip back and forth and some of this stuff just doesn't show up. It'll say, that, you know, I've got comments there, but it won't actually show them to me. And that is a bit of a problem. Now, also I do keep watch over the, Pop Culture Network YouTube page. So if you're watching this on the Pop Culture Network YouTube page, I do look at the comments there. And I do respond as well because I am, I don't know, moderator. Killen owns the account, technically. And I'm a, I don't know if moderator is the right term, whatever, but I do have the ability to go in and look at some of this, look at the comments and things like that. So, and actually I'm looking, now that I pull it up, there are some comments I hadn't seen before that have just shown up. So, good video, good job. Okay, thanks. That's nice. Likely spam. And again, here, it's saying likely spam. There's two comments and nothing. Nice work. You're all caught up. Well, that's great. So again, if you left some comments on the Pop Culture Network page, I can't see them. I don't know what they are. They aren't there. Let's see. But there was something. Okay, yeah. Dismiss, I know. YouTube is apparently going through right now and trying to find bots and get bots off their system. And so people's subscriber counts, some of them are going down. You may see some people complain that they're not, you know, they're not getting, they don't have the subscribers. Subscribers are disappearing. People are being unsubscribed from my channel. It's bot accounts. It's fake accounts that are being shut down. So if you see people freaking out about that, it's not another conspiracy from YouTube. They're just getting rid of some of those fake accounts. It happens every so often. It's not that big of a deal. Goat. I am the goat. Oh, that's nice. Cool. Thanks, Riot Bro. I'm the goat. Nice to know. Hot audio. Yeah. Why is it not available? Okay. Love Brad Dorf. Yeah, so do I. All right. So anyway, you guys are awesome. Oh, thanks. Even though it's just me. Weird. Okay. Yeah. Well, I guess all of us. You guys still like killing. That's nice to know. All right. Anyway, thanks for watching, guys. I'm not going to ask you to like, not going to ask you to subscribe, not going to ask you to hit that bell. I'm not going to even ask you to share. All I am going to ask is that you remember this one thing.
You're watching the best looking guy on the internet.